The following presentation was recorded at Faith Builders. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
Thank you, Ritzie. If I didn't know any better, I thought you would have worked here at Faith Builders for the last couple of years. I think things should go well here today. Devotional, inspirational, motivational times and activities. We have 20 minutes to talk about this, so if you get your pencil ready. I intentionally did not do any overheads. I want you to be teachers and learners, so get ready to scribble. My thoughts will surround one basic statement. Seek not for the glamorous moments, but rather build the defining moments in your school. Seek not for the glamorous moments, but rather build the defining moments in your school. When I think of inspiration and I think of motivation, there are a couple of words immediately come to my mind. The one word is shallow. Most of the motivational, inspirational notions that I have been exposed to on a secular level are just very, very shallow. And unfortunately, it seems to me as though even in our schools, we tend not to go deep enough. We tend to think about motivation and inspiration, devotion, as those times when everybody in school is wound up tight and they're looking forward to that class trip, or they're looking forward to the ice cream social or the sport event or whatever. I attended public schools, and there we intentionally, tried to sidetrack the spiritual values. In its place, very clearly, was the pep rally. For motivation, what did we do? We ran down to the gymnasium, and they paraded all of the great basketball players or whatever in front of us, and we yelled and screamed at the top of our lungs about how we were going to whoop up on so-and-so and so-and-so. And these were the high moments. Our color day at Chambersburg was a great defining moment for the school. Shallow as could be, but it was a defining moment. When the senior class passed on the colors to the sophomore class, and everybody razzed each other about blue and gold and red and white, I believe it was, at Chambersburg. And these were defining moments. I suppose you know that since I already used the word shallow, those are not the points I'm going to make this morning to you. I have four things that I would like to share with you that I believe can become defining moments or help to do what I'm talking about when I talk about defining moments. Before I give you those four things, the word I think that captures what I mean by long-term motivation and inspiration is a Bible term. It's called vision. Schools need to have these defining moments in place in such a way that they support that deep foundation that results in a building, results in vision. This is a little hard to capture. It's a little hard to get a hold of. Vision is not built in a day. Vision is not built in a month. Vision is built over years. And it flows out of so many facets that I'm tending to use the word generically this morning and not try to analyze the details. You know, it's people, it's institutions, it's ideas, and on and on and on and on that make up what we call a person's vision. What we're focusing on this morning is how can the school year, now I want us to think about how this next upcoming school year can contribute to the groundswell of motivation that is needed in a school. That's needed in a community. I believe that vision needs to be developed on two levels. One is on personal level. So here come students into your classroom or into your school here in just a few weeks. They need a personal vision for their lives. So do you. It almost goes without saying. I'm just assuming that you have one. If you don't, you need one before you walk into the classroom, because remember, people contribute to this. And in terms of the school, I don't mind telling you, it is the teacher who provides the primary foundation for the school in terms of the vision that we're talking about. But it needs to be personal. It needs to be personal for the teacher, and you want it to be personal for the students. We need personal vision. Secondly, we need community vision. Obviously, community vision flows out of personal vision. At least I suppose it does, although it kind of seems to go around like this. I'm distressed when I look at our communities in general and note that we have the ideas of loyalty and of commitment, and if we're going someplace and we have purpose and belonging, and all of those things seem to be falling apart at the seams. It just seems to be crumbling on us. I believe the school is a good place for that to be changed. So if you can kind of hold those two ideas in mind, personal development, community development. The four areas I want to talk about are very, very simple areas, but remember, they're defining moments. The first one is chapel. I believe that Brandon is going to talk a little bit about chapel in detail. I'm just going to say a few things about it. Secondly, parent-teacher fellowship. Third, school trips. Fourth, graduation. There are other moments in school life, but these are the four I want to talk about. I'm speaking out of my experience, and there are a few of you here who share that experience with me. I see Michelle over here. She went to school at Anchor School, and so when I talk a little bit about this, you'll be able to relate to it. For us at Anchor, the years I taught there, chapel was at the core of motivation. We had chapel at Anchor Christian School from 8:30 in the morning until 9:10 every morning. 40 minutes. And you say, whoa, how would we do this? Well, I will never forget when John D. Martin told me that that's when I started to teach school there, that it would be my responsibility to have two devotionals for 40 minutes every week. He would have two, and we would have somebody from the community come in and speak on the fifth. I thought this is going to get long and old. I'm here just to testify as a teacher. The 6 years that I shared with John Martin in chapel, I did 50% of them, he did 50% of them, were the 6 years of the most profound life change for me in my entire 45 years. I think I can say that with a good bit of certainty. Stretched me to my limits. And I soon found out that these were moments that we shared together that really, really did develop significant vision. How did we do it? Let me tell you a little bit about it. Number one was worship. We started this morning with the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Chapel at Anchor Christian School was a devotional, a worship time, where we learned something about worship. I don't know if I can define this well enough for you, but maybe just a few parts of that music. I suspect Brandon's going to talk about this some. But let me say this. A school should enjoy, they should long for the moments when they can share in singing the old hymns of the church in a devotional, worshipful manner. It is worth your time to teach the students to sing and to sing well in a school. At Anchor, the students loved it. If we said, this morning we're going to spend 40 minutes singing and sharing and praying.
I sometimes suspected they were just glad that they weren't going to hear John or I just rattle on, but I believe it was a little better than that. They loved it. This is a part of the undergirding structure of inspiration. Maybe it's not true for you, but for me to this day, even in my private devotions, I like to spend moments singing the songs to myself and thinking over the words of the men and women who wrote some very powerful words over the years. We did book studies in chapel, and I have gained a lifelong delight in studying the books of the Bible. During those years, when John Martin was teaching from speaking from various books in the Bible, I furiously took down notes in the margins of my Bible. I didn't want to lose them. And to this very day, I pick up that old Bible. It's long since worn out and not fit to be used in public. But I pick that thing up and go through the pages and see those notes in the margins of my Bible and pick up on them and build on them and sometimes preach from them and sometimes just inspired by them. Now, I know I was a teacher and not a student. But many, many, many students in Anchor Christian School speak of those chapels and what it meant to them. I think in most of our schools, from what I'm hearing, we tend to soft pedal it. We back up. We have them once a week. Or we do, I don't know, it's something we got to get out of the way. We have 5 minutes at the front end of the day. Or 10 minutes at the front end of the day. Well, I'm not quite sure what to say if they're not inspirational, but I'm here to tell you that inspirational, half-hour-long, 40-minute-long devotionals, and bless our dear brother John's heart, you remember he could go to 9:30 sometimes without even trying. It would go an hour. But they were the core of the motivation and the inspiration at Anchor Christian School. We spoke to the person, and we spoke to the community. See, personal development and community development. It was a time for us to address the contemporary issues for our community. Now, I don't know if you're frightened of them or not, but we went through church splits. And we talked about them in chapel. We did not take sides. We talked about them. It had to do with our vision. It had to do with what we thought was important. Don't forget your chapels. Number two, parent-teacher fellowships. Here I want to wax eloquent. I wish we had the parents here. But that's not who we have. We have teachers and a few administrators. Pay attention to parent-teacher fellowships. Make them. Help them to become the defining moments of school life. What I always loved is we'd have a parent-teacher fellowship and about 50% of the people would show up who should have been there. But I'd hear for the next week, if we had done it carefully, I'd hear ministers and others say, how are we going to get our people to parent-teacher fellowships? These are some of the best meetings that we have in our community. This wasn't the teacher saying it. This was the church leader saying it. And they worked at trying to get people out. And we got irritated because they didn't come. But put energy into that. It's not just a sidelight of school. This is something, these are moments that you can use to build school life and to build vision. I only have one how-to there. They don't care too much about the announcements, but you're going to have to bring into your parent-teacher fellowships people who have vision, who have motivation, who know something about worship with their God, who have some experience. And when they come in and talk, and when they're finished talking, parents walk out the back door, not uninspired, but moved. Even if there are just five parents there, I can tell you it is well worth your time for that, those moments to be highlights. Third, school trips. I count these as defining moments. Not moments particularly when you're just wasting time. One of the highlights at Anchor was the church history trip that we took, where we went to, we'd go down to Germantown, and we would head off to the Hans Herr House. And boy, I'm struggling now to remember all the places we went, but we went to places and stopped and thought and considered. And the teacher was, his job was to help to bring thoughts, the situation together so that a person could think about their roots, about this church, about the ongoing spiritual development. School trips are important parts of these defining moments. I'm out of time already, but that's fine. Let me talk just a little bit about graduation yet. This was a highlight at Anchor Christian School. This was a time when we, the whole community gathered together. I don't know what it's like in your community. This was there were two social events in the Chambersburg community. Two big ones, social and spiritual. The one was the school program. I didn't put it in here. I don't know if Brandon will talk about it or not. It should be here. The one was school program and the other was school graduation. Those two you could expect almost the entire community to turn out to. I don't know why, but they did. Seize those moments and let them be inspirational and motivational. Not bragging up on the graduates. That's not what I'm talking about. Remember, I'm talking about defining moments of vision building. And these are moments, again, to pull in board member, pull in a speaker for the principal of the school to say something, for the graduates to be given good direction in what they can say and do at that meeting that speaks into the life of the student body who is gathered there, the little guys who look at that graduating person and say, that's what I want to be like. My emphasis here is not so much on graduation as it is on this defining moment of personal and community development that is so important in a community. And I think for the sake of time, I'll just shut down right there with this final comment. Never forget that you as a teacher are indeed the devotional, inspirational, motivational centerpiece of the day-by-day events in the classroom. You cannot avoid this. This calls for, obviously, a deep, devotional life of your own, a wellspring out of which flows the inspiration in the class that catches on with the students. Look not for the glamorous moment, but rather build the defining moment. And while I've just shared four straight out of my own experience, perhaps they're different in your classroom and in your school. But don't forget to build them, for God's sake.
Thanks, Melvin, for sharing with us some of the vision behind chapel and other events in a Christian school that really are vital for building that momentum in the life of the school. As Melvin already mentioned, I want to speak primarily about chapel And whereas Melvin tried to give you some of the big picture, I want to give you some ideas and just underscore again that I see chapel as a very intentional time to do several things. One is to build the visible unity of the school. When we sit together for chapel, it's an opportunity for everyone to realize again in a fresh way, this is us. Okay, here we are. We're in school, and there are a few things that this is about. Something else that Melvin mentioned, calling people to worship. Recognizing that we sit here together, this is us, but we're sitting together as a small community under God. And we're calling one another to recognize that fact again, that we're here because God created us, because He calls us to do a few things in the world. And then, thirdly, I see it as a time to plant vision. I do it two ways. Through teaching, the kind of teaching that Melvin talked about, people coming in and speaking. And then secondly, and this is where many of my ideas center today, to have students experience something in a very tangible way that impacts them for the rest of their lives. I want them to experience something that, in a way that gives them vision, that when they leave school and enter their communities, they'll come up against situations, problems, circumstance, and they'll say, you know, I wonder if we don't need something that we did back in school. And for me, I'll be very frank with you, teaching was an opportunity, as Melvin already said, to speak into the larger community. And so that really is where many of my ideas generate and come from. I'm not sure what happened to my overhead here. I've not used this one before. Does anyone know what happened? Yeah, the light's on, the fan's going, but the bulb just went out. There it is. Okay. Well, let me just begin. I have a list of chapel ideas here. And we've done a number of things here, and these ideas I've just collected over the years and just share them with you. For chapel, we have local pastors come in. Something else we've done is bring in fathers, have them come in periodically and speak. Number three, we've had community figures come in. You pull someone in like a fire chief or a police chief or a mayor or a local business leader. It can be very interesting chapel. Last year we had one of the local business leaders come in, and one of the things he does is do little demonstrations. He calls it little gospel magic, you know, and not the kind of thing we'd bring in a lot, but it was interesting to have him come in and share some neat little demonstrations. Students loved it, and it was a way for us to develop some relationships with the community. And basically what he did was a little bit of sleight of hand. It wasn't too magical, but it was interesting nonetheless. See if we can get going here. I'll adjust that. All right, thank you. So, community figures. Something else that we do is we have periodically, each class is responsible to plan and present a chapel. So it's an opportunity for students to get involved and developing public presentation skills and leadership skills. We ask our teachers to plan a chapel periodically. They can use students, they can pull in other people, they can assign, but we ask them to plan the chapel. About once a quarter, we have a quiz chapel where we divide up students into teams, and we have quizzes such as Bible, a sword drill, and so on. It can be interesting once in a while for a good change of pace. Something we enjoy very much is singing chapel. Spend the entire chapel just singing together perhaps students leading some songs, perhaps teachers leading some songs. Again, a very good time to reinforce some of the things Melvin was talking about in terms of singing. We ask our student council to plan a chapel a couple times a year. Chapel is also an opportunity periodically for the principal to just deliver what is important, what he sees developing in the student body, and to address issues, kind of a periodic State of the Union address. Something else we've done, number 10, is participate and see you at the poll. Perhaps some of you have done that already. I find that, especially my high school students, really enjoy doing something that they know that many, many students across the country are doing that very same morning, is gathering around the flagpole. We happen to have one out here. I know many schools probably don't, but we still have ours out here because this was a public school. And so we gather around that, traffic going by and the wind blowing, and spending time thanking God for the opportunity we have to attend a Christian school, praying that God's kingdom would grow and expand across the nation through schools. Something else that we've done the last couple years is an opening day school rally. And we've taken an hour, hour and a half of the morning, the first opening day of school, and we'll build that program around our motto or theme for the year. So this past year we had as our theme, Building Lives for the King. And the visual that we have with that, you'll still see at least remnants of it on the end of the school hall down there. We had bricks. Okay, so we're building. And we built the entire morning around that. We had a theme song, theme scripture. We had seniors introduce a first grader. We went out and stood in a big circle in the gym, and we had already arranged where people would sit. And seniors introduced the new first graders, and we introduced the new students. We gave each person had a brick, and after we just give you a summary here, but we built the program around the idea of building. Each person took their brick at the end, and we built a little wall there, and representing each person in the school, and just a very positive morning. We ended up with Long Johns and hot chocolate. Long Johns are roughly in the shape of a brick. Year before, we had a different theme. We had donuts. But just a good, energizing, vision-focusing morning for the entire school year, and was very positive. Just some activities, some further activities that we've pulled from as we have people plan these chapels. We do not emphasize quite as much as what Melvin shared in his experience, the lecture format. I believe that can be very powerful. You do need people who can do that well. And Melvin and John are people who can do that well. We don't have that many people to do it. We've pulled in other activities and tried to intersperse these with the teaching that we've offered as well. One of the things that we've suggested that we can spend time in groups. We have divided up our entire student body into groups of four or five. And we have a high school student leading that group. So whatever activity is done with chapel groups, we call them, that high school student leads that group. And I've just been pleasantly surprised and amazed at how well they do. Students, I believe, want a challenge. You put them in charge of something, most of them are going to rise to that challenge and want to do well with it. And it's been very gratifying to see a high school student lead a first or second grader through an activity, be encouraging, and so on, rather than seeing the student body divide up into cliques maybe that and end up being in a high school and junior high and grades 5 and 6 and so on, and sort of having rooms developing friction. This has been very good in that way. So our time in groups is going to emphasize these kinds of things. Teamwork, skit development. I'm sorry, the chapel there should belong over here to number 4. Special singing, poster creation, treasure hunts, discussions, prayer time. Periodically we'll have a prayer chapel, and we'll often divide up into those groups and pray about a list of requests that we've generated at the beginning of chapel. Again, has been very helpful. Number 2, we asked people to plan ways to get students to participate. Number three, we have not tried a Quaker chapel where everyone is simply silent. And we plan the morning so that there's lots of reflection and meditation and personal prayer time. Something I'd like to do yet, an idea came across. Number four, impromptu chapels. You don't want too many of these, but maybe one or two a year at the most. But where you come and you hand out a job for each person, and it's impromptu. Number five, a panel discussion, whether it's teachers or students on the panel, can be very stimulating. Number six, simply presenting a devotional time. Number seven, a teaching lecture, the kind that Melvin was talking about. Number eight, an illustrated story. These are all activities that can be done. I'll leave it up there just for a moment for those of you still trying to get those down. Ended up being very positive ways. One of the more gratifying things for me is that when students reflect on the year, they say, you know, one of my favorite times was chapel. And that's the kind of thing that we've been hearing as we work hard at doing those kinds of things. Something else that we've done is toward the end of the year, one of the last chapels is we have senior chapel. And this is simply a copy of what I give to each of the seniors. I want them to talk to the rest of the student body on a couple of issues. And one is to reflect on their lives up to this point. Okay, so you finished 12 years of school. Reflect on it to the student body. What comes to your mind as you think about your school experience? What have you learned, not only in school, but as a whole? Want them to think about life and preparation. What have been some of your richest blessings? What are the highlights? What are some of the tough times? What is the most important lesson you've learned? That's been very profound to me as I've listened to students reflect. Some of the more challenging students I've had have given some of the most challenging senior chapel times. They've done very well with that, and they've been appreciative. Students know that when they give teachers a hard time, and this gives them an opportunity, if they care to seize it, to reflect on that and what all that meant. It's been interesting to hear their perspective. Number two, I asked them to answer this question. What do you hope to do in the future? Sometimes they don't know beyond the next month. Hopefully, they've been challenged to think into the next 5 and 10 years. And that, again, is encouraging and revealing. Number three, what would you like to say to your fellow students that would be especially important to say, given your perspective as a graduating senior? Almost without exception, I don't hear seniors saying, man, am I glad to be out of here? Now, they might drop in a comment, but what's going to come through is, work hard. It's worth it. I didn't feel like it, but, you know, I'm glad I did it. And younger students need to hear that. Something else that we have done, I haven't done it here in our school at Faith Builders. We did it in Napanee, Indiana, when I taught at United Christian School. There we centered a lot of our chapels around character traits and had local speakers, pastors come in and talk about those things. So 1 or 2 years there, we had each student keep a chapel notebook. One of the reasons we did this is that we had an individualized program in the upper grades, and so students didn't have a lot of opportunity to learn in a lecture format. This is one way to help them learn how to take good notes, how to pick up main points, and so on. And so grades 1 to 12, we had this outline for them, and they had this outline in the front of their notebook. Everybody had the same kind of notebook, and they took notes based on this format. So what's the subject? What's the text, the scripture text? How was this defined? What was the definition given? What were some illustrations? What were some examples? Write down some applications, something you can take home and put to work in your life. Number seven, write a question you had as you listened. Then periodically, each teacher in each classroom would collect these notebooks and go over them and just write a little response in the section here. Those could be very beneficial. They could also quickly become perfunctory, you know, just commonplace, something you did in chapel. And I didn't want to do it every year because it could become routine and sort of lose the punch. But I thought it was helpful
at times to do this. Something else we've done in our chapels is once a week, have, especially in junior high and high school, we would divide the students into boys and girls chapels. So we had ladies assigned to teach the ladies and men assigned to teach the men or the young fellows. So what we did there is we developed a syllable of topics to cover, a syllabus of topics. Teachers would allow ample time for students to ask questions, a time where we tried to encourage sharing among their peers. And again, you have to keep the groups fairly small if you're going to do significant sharing. But they would share personal goals, struggles, prayer requests. It was also time for short teaching periods aimed specifically at these groups, so for boys or girls, and more personal issues like sexuality, purpose, having them talk about how they relate to their parents, some of those things, just giving them direction in these areas. Again, one of the reasons I wanted to do this was because I wanted to get people talking about what's going on in their personal lives. And again, very gratifying, a year or two after graduation, to walk into a coffee shop some morning to see some former students meeting in a group for that purpose, talking about their personal lives. That's really what I wanted. And students have expressed great appreciation for these opportunities. Sometimes we did it every week. Sometimes simply every 2 weeks can be helpful. One final activity or something that we've done is to divide students into groups. And this is really a continuation of what we do in the men's and ladies' chapel. We divide them into small groups. Senior students are appointed to be leaders. And often I would meet monthly with the leaders to train them and to discuss any problems they were having in the groups. Here is where I would not only divide the students into groups, into boys and girls chapel, but would also divide them into groups of three or four. And so, for instance, in a high school that I taught in Indiana, we had 36 students, grades 9 to 12. So we would divide them into groups of four or so and assign a senior to lead that group. And the goals were, again, to have them share on a personal level. I gave them a little outline if they needed it to share. I told them what the format should be. And I talked to them how to pray together and how to support each other, how to listen, and those kinds of things. Met with the seniors regularly. And then as a teacher, two of us, one of the ladies and then myself, we would circulate on those groups from week to week and just get a feel for how those were going. Some benefits. Breaks down class stereotypes. Even in the high school there, we would have seniors kind of sit together, juniors sit together, and so on. I remember two students. This senior was a big guy, 6.5 feet tall probably, weighed probably 250. Very intimidating sort of person. And then I remember a freshman in that same high school who was just the opposite, very small, looked more like a seventh grader. And those two, they didn't really have anything for each other. There was conflict. Put them in the same group. So the older guy, the big guy, was leading the group, and the little guy was there, part of the group. And it's fascinating to watch that relationship change over the years. They learned to talk about what was going on in their personal lives, and to see them begin to support each other, playing volleyball in the classroom or whatever situation. So it breaks down stereotypes and cliques. Second thing it does, it facilitates sharing at a more personal level. I think it develops leadership in the student body. Seniors, especially 1 year, had a very large freshman class come in. And you know how classes have their own personality. And this class certainly had theirs. They were quite a gang. And they gave the very distinct impression they didn't respect the senior class. They didn't care. They weren't impressed. And it was a good senior class. And the seniors began to wrestle with the fact that these guys are you know, what are they after anyway? And what do they want? And how are we going to call them to something more? And very, very good experience there as they, to have them wrestle with that and learn what it meant to be leaders and to be models and to call other people to something greater. I would also, as a teacher, when I joined a group, I would try to share on the same kinds of themes that they shared. Of course, your teacher, I think you need to maintain the teacher-student relationship. So I didn't share like I would if it had been my peers. But I tried to let them know that I had personal issues, personal temptations, things that I needed support on as well in prayer. Some cautions. Be sure that leaders are accountable for results. Sometimes I had them each turn in a little form, a report. What happened in your group today? And how did it go? How much time did you spend? On what did you spend your time? And I had an occasional student who would have a tough time maintaining a serious focus in the group. But I found that we were able to get that. But they may need some accountability. It can become too loose, and I've just talked about that. Conflicts can develop between members of the group. Now, this is rare, but it can happen. And again, it's a chance for discipleship, I believe. You may need to change them, but it's normally a chance to help people think about how they relate. And again, a caution, you shouldn't share too personally as a teacher. However, students often express appreciation for the fact that the teacher could be open with their own life as well. Final thought, as we think about the purpose for these kinds of events, I think of the Old Testament when the whole kingdom of Israel gathered in Jerusalem for sometimes as long as a week. And it often says the people went home with gladness of heart. And that's what I would call us to in our chapel times.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit christianlearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.